There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Oh, house meeting! And let me tell you, as a podcast, it takes some beating.
That's nice, yeah, Tom. That's really nice.
It's a bar. A spatter bar. House meeting, of course, is where the three of us sit down, chew the fat, mow the cud, and arrange the hedges of conversation.
Absolutely right. And if you like a little bit of topiary, then this is a podcast for you, because hedges were definitely arranged, rearranged, and rearranged a third time. We had a very good, we had a very good time chatting today. It starts with Clarkie, which is always,
always fascinating,
always an exciting move when Clarkie has some leaves he wants to throw into the mix. But it was a good fun chat. But before we get into it, we would like to encourage you, as winter is drawing in, and maybe you're not able to go out as much as you like. It's a bit nippy, you know. You can't go gambling through the fields or rollicking through the parks. Perhaps stay in. No, not until spring comes back around. Perhaps stay in. You know, make yourself a little bed and listen to some extra podcasts on our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
We'd love you to join us.
And as we keep saying, it's that time of year where people will say to you, what do you want this year? What do you want for Christmas?
And you what think, do you need?
Your house is full of clutter. If you need something, you normally order it for yourself anyway. What's that little extra gift that will bring you joy that won't get in the way? Well, it's a subscription to Pappy's on Patreon.
Absolutely right.
Loads of room in your ear canals. Pop us in there.
Pop us in there, guys. Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Get it for yourself. Ask for it as a gift. Either works. For £4 a month, I mean, what, you know, like the price of a cup of coffee, basically. £4 a month, you get bonus episodes every single week. You get bonus beefs. You get our Flatshare Pop Round. You get little bits of bonus audio from some of the other shows we do. It really is. It's a tremendous amount of fun. We're about to record a Flatshare Pop Round right now. So if you want to hear what we're about to say when we get off mic on this and on mic on that, then get yourself to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
I'm so into this idea of buying a subscription as a present. I wish there was a podcast I liked enough to ask for a subscription as a present for Christmas.
I think you could have ended the sentence at the word liked. I don't think there was enough to ask for a subscription from. What pods are you listening to? I think it's, you know, like, let's spread the love a little bit. What are your current top pods you're listening to at the moment, Parry?
Well,
should we crack on with the app?
Yeah. Enjoy this house meeting, a podcast that I would listen to if I wasn't in it.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I went to a petting zoo the other day.
Oh, fantastic. Thing is, I go to a lot of petting zoos because I've got two small children.
Yes.
What were you doing there, Clarkie?
It's
the question.
It's a good question.
Is it like one of those things? Do they do this now? Because anything that kids enjoy, there's also like a Prosecco version of that. Is that what it was? were you going to?
Bottomless petting.
Prosecco and pets. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. make a mint. No, sadly it wasn't that. I went for a friend's birthday.
I mean, you tell me, Clarky. You asked it as a question.
And is your friend, was your friend six?
No, again, no. And she also didn't have children.
So were you surrounded by little kids?
No, actually, weirdly, there was like, of the group that went in, and we were given a time to go in. So everyone kind of had to assemble in the car park.
Yeah.
And then they bring us in after a talk. And
what animals are you petting here for a talk, sir?
Well, a couple of tigers, first of all.
No,
this is the thing, right? They started the talk by saying, okay, so we've got a couple of alpacas. When you feed them, keep your hand flat.
Yeah.
Don't touch them.
Okay.
So already I'm a bit like, hold on. This isn't as advertised. Don't touch them. They won't like
that. You can't give them a stroke?
No.
So what element of petting are you doing here?
Oh, this is the thing. You can get off with them.
Heavy
petting.
It
was a heavy petting zoo, yeah.
Are you in a swimming bath?
Stop bombing on the back of the alpaca. Clark, just to set the scene a little bit more for me personally.
Yes, please.
Yeah, don't set it for me, please.
Yeah. What time of day are we talking here?
It was early afternoon, I think.
Okay.
It was about 12.
So again, that's the earliest you can get in an afternoon, really. We're talking...
afternoon.
This you were there at the crack of the afternoon. Very much kids playtime. Like, it's not like you were going like at 7 PM when maybe kids were sort of going to bed. This is like middle of the day, and you went in and you had some time alone with these animals, just you and your group. Is that the idea?
No. There was other people and they were different, like random.
Yeah.
There was like four of us. There was, I'd say, two other couples. There was one family. So there was only one. There were two kids out of all the people who went in. Out of about a dozen people.
I mean, that's great, because, you know, obviously nature's wonderful and there's no right age to be doing it. But that is odd.
The whole thing was odd. I don't know what was going on with it.
So you saw alpacas?
Alpacas. Don't touch them. Don't go around the back of them as well. Don't go around the back of them.
Because you'll see it's just two blokes in an alpaca suit. That's why.
Don't hang out the back of them.
Don't pull that thread.
Then they said, we've got some pygmy mountain goats. Well, oh, great, gorgeous. And then she followed up with, they are the worst type of goats. Don't try and touch them. I was like, what the hell is this petting zoo?
You could just look at photographs. You could just go on the internet and type in pygmy mountain goats and that'd be it.
Then there were pigs. Not allowed to touch the pigs.
Were they goat me mountain pigs? The worst kind of pigs.
The worst kind of pigs. Because they were like, they will bite you. Like, what is going on? And then finally, there was some sheep, and they're like, you can touch sheep what you want.
Who wants to touch a sheep at this stage? We've all got jumpers.
Oh, I know. And then there were chickens and ducks, and they're like, you can touch those too.
What are you seeing when you go through? Because you're in a car park. You leave the car park. Where are you going? What's happening?
You kind of go through a little hut, which is kind of also like a little gift shop type place.
Yeah. Do you wash your hands?
Yeah, there were.
You don't need to wash your hands. You're not touching the animals. There's no need for that that level of safety.
You got for the entrance price as well. We got between us. There was four of us. We got a little bag of carrots, and then each of us got some seed that was in, you know, like the sachet, the tomato ketchup things you get in McDonald's.
Oh yeah,
when you're actually they're in
a little Tetra pack. Yeah.
Little one of
like
those seeds.
The cups that you're supposed to fold down
for the sauce.
Yeah.
Those little tiny ones. So we had that.
Like the thimble things.
Yeah. Tiny. It's trying to make that last with all the chickens. Honestly, after 5 minutes, I was like, I am done.
How much did this all this this caper cost you?
Was it an inner city petting zoo? Are we talking like Hackney Zoo or something like that?
This is it as well, Tom. It was out in the country. We went out of London to do this. It was almost an hour and a half out of London.
In Devon, they let you take the animals home with you. They'll be like, that's an alpaca, bring it back on Thursday. The ram's pretty good for a laugh.
Go round the back of a ball.
Take him round and about for a bit. He'll come home when he's good and ready. They don't give a shit, really, in the southwest.
But there are alpacas roaming through the streets of Exeter, aren't there? That's the nature of...
I think one's mare. There's some kind of bylaw going on.
He's not the guy who's in charge of the traffic calming measures, is he? Because made himself one very unpopular alpaca recently.
Bylaws are good, aren't they? Bylaws are... it feels like we'll finish on the petting zoo and get back to bylaws, but well, you know, like,
by the way, what Tom's done there is said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. But if you've got any more points you want to make, I've got a thing I want to talk about, and hold your horses, guys, because it's about bylaws.
No, or you're not allowed to hold the horses.
Don't hold the horses; they will bite you.
Oh, I would have killed for a horse. Jeepers creepers. For extra money.
How much were you paying, God? How much were you paying for this? How much?
I can't remember
you?
What it was. It was about £8.50 a ticket.
That's a rip-off, man.
It was a rip-off. And also, there were people who'd paid more. And they could have...
For like a special experience.
Yeah, they were like, who's here for the pig experience? The pig experience was, you got to walk the pig around the place one lap.
There you go.
With it on a lead.
On a lead?
No, you can't put an animal on a lead in a like a farm situation. They shouldn't be.
That's a bylaw, is it? And speaking of bylaws, no, sorry, carry
finally,
on. So we'll get
finally,
to bylaws.
He's
on bylaws.
He's got his bylaws gear. He wants to get out.
Oh,
come
get
on,
to bylaws. Don't even get me started on bylaws.
Tell us about some bylaws.
Well, I've got a few questions for Ben first about this terrible trip. Whose idea was it? Was it the birthday person's?
It was the
idea.
Birthday person's idea, yeah. She wasn't happy with it. We were all disappointed with the level.
But she did book herself
with the
to
lack
go to
of
a petting. She booked herself to go to a petting zoo for her birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking. This is a birthday that's like if it's not 40, it's in the late 30s, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
This just the probably the only selling point to having kids, I'd say, is...
I can't believe this. What a start to a sentence. The only selling point to having kids.
It answers the question, what am I going to do with my time? What am I going to do today? That's the issue that you have when you choose not to have children is you got a lot of time to fill, man. And
what
at some
gonna
point
do
you're
going to
end up in a petting zoo for your birthday, whereas like when you got kids you're just like, I have to go to a petting zoo. I'm in a fucking soft play area again.
Either way you're ending up in a petting zoo.
Yeah, I mean that's it.
All roads lead to a disappointing petting zoo,
but one's legitimate. that's the thing.
Yeah,
is one's legitimate and one you can kind of go, oh, I'm in a bloody petting zoo, but you still get to be in a petting zoo. And the other way you go, I'm going to try going to a petting zoo. That might fill the void.
How long ago were you last in a petting zoo, Tom, as a father of a 3-year-old?
I think about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. For me, it was yesterday.
Never not far away from a zoo or a petting zoo.
I was there yesterday and I'd been there a couple of weeks before. Just constantly. It's petting zoos that you just have to do them.
You know that old joke, you know, that old joke of I caught my best friend sleeping with my wife. I said, John, I have to, but you? That joke. that was kind of the reaction that me and Crosby had when you launched into some petting zoo gear. It's like, mate, you don't have to go. You're clear. You're free.
I can tell you now. I enjoy petting zoos. We went to a petting zoo. It was torrential rain. And I was like, no, we're still going, because I just enjoy them. I enjoy them too much. There's some great ones near us, But we're not here to talk about that now. We're not here to promote the... They'll be in the show notes. I'll be a list of my top petting zoos in the southeast.
And my bottom.
Clarkie's worst.
Clarkie's ones to avoid. Did they not go on TripAdvisor, surely, to check that this is a good petting zoo? You've got to do your work here.
Yeah, I presumed since we were travelling, you know, travelling for it, it was going to be like an elite petting zoo. It was going to be like, you know, one
it
of the best.
It feels like someone's panicked on the phone when someone said, what are you doing for your birthday?
Good night. Yeah. I thought you were going to say it sounds like someone's panicked on the phone when someone's called up and asked, are you a petting zoo?
Yeah. We'll meet in the car park and we'll give you a talk.
I tell you what I thought. I thought someone's been hurt at this petting zoo. This petting zoo's been sued.
Probably a duck. what was the highlight?
Picked up a chicken.
That was the highlight.
Yeah.
On the way home from Morley's.
Delicious.
You got yourself one of those roast in a bag they do at Sainsbury's from that weird hot cupboard in the middle of Sainsbury's.
Ooh, delicious.
To cuddle a sheep. Please.
Yeah, you must have got to cuddle a sheep.
Yeah, sheep.
Don't care about sheep.
Nah. They've got that sheep.
Chickens have got bad energy, man.
I like a chicken.
Chickens stress me out, man. They're intense. They got too much going on. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean they've got too much going on? Like the head movement, the pecking at the ground, all that kind of stuff.
Put a chicken next to a sheep. I'm going to go and have a pint with the sheep. Do you know what I mean? That chicken's going to be kicking off about the pool table or some shit like that within an hour. It'll be like
they've got frenetic energy. They've got frenetic energy.
We put that 50p down, whereas like the sheep's going to be like you know, there'll be other 50p's.
That's right. Sheep are relaxed. Chickens are edgy, aren't they?
Yeah,
they've got proper kind of edgy. You know, done a bit too much speed vibes, like that kind of thing. The edgy bloke in the pub.
Got to chill out a little bit, man.
I get that.
Take the edge off. Which Perry. Maybe sheep need to book up their ideas a bit, I think, is what. For £8, Clarkie wants a bit more from.
Yeah, I want a bit more thrills and spills. Don't just lie there.
Perry and I, we were at a wedding last weekend and there are alpacas there. And alpacas are very friendly. They're very. They assume you've got food. And yeah, you can stroke them and they're so soft. But like. They don't seem like there's no aggression to them.
They put the fear of God in me with these fucking alpacas. I was like, I was feeding it like, oh, I thought I was about to get my hand ripped off at any moment.
No.
With your little cup.
With my little cup.
With your little McDonald's cup.
Your little barbecue sauce.
Did you flatten out the cup? Because that's what you're supposed to, aren't you? That's the apparently in McDonald's, so, you're supposed to flatten out the sauce.
Supposed to flatten them out.
So did you flatten the cup out to feed the alpacas? Is that the cup equivalent of keeping your hand flat?
I wasn't going to give them seeds. I don't think they would have enjoyed that. I saved some.
You saved for yourself, didn't you?
Carrot for them.
You're like, I've spent £8.
I ate the carrot.
I'm going to go in the car park and eat like the seeds instead. It's part of my keto diet.
Piglet on your lap. That's the sweet spot at a petting zoo.
Yeah,
then you're going full petting, man.
Piglet on the lap,
dude. Next time you come down the southwest, I'll take you to Pennywell Farm for your birthday.
Listen, it wasn't my birthday. I want to quell that rumor right now,
dude. The listeners are well aware when your birthday is. Do not worry about that. There's no listener going, Clarkie's birthday is it in October? No.
Yeah.
Look, next June. Maybe it'll be a listener deer event. We'll all meet at a petting zoo.
We'll meet in the car park.
We'll do a meetup with all the listeners, and they can pet us if they would
just
like.
Don't go around the back of us.
Don't go around the back. Don't go around the back of Clarkie.
You won't like that.
You're in for a real shock. But yeah, you can pat us on the head and feed us through a tiny little portion of seeds out of a tiny cup.
I'll be a Ben Me Mountain Tom.
I think 50% of me laughing at that was for the joke itself. The other 50%, actually probably more like 40-60, the other 60% was you not being sure whether to be delighted or embarrassed by it. And I really enjoyed it.
AKA the sweet spot.
The sweet spot. The golden ratio.
For sure.
House meeting.
Goat impressions. Let's hear you bleating.
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When I went to the circus in Moscow, when I was on my holes, they had the absolute, you know, like when you're in a petting zoo type situation, you go, this is really bad. But they had the kind of the Joe Exotic animals. They had all of the like the tigers and everything. They came out into the foyer, and there were little kids. Yeah, came into the foyer in all smoking a fag, asking how you thought the show was going. No, they all came out, and they like sort of like you could have your photograph taken if you paid a bit of money, professionally taken with the lion like lying in your lap. And you know, like during the circus, you were like, these animals don't seem totally happy. And then when you saw them up close, you're like, oh, they're all really drugged. It was really depressing stuff. Yeah, it was really bad.
Not like good drugs, like the chicken with its speed in the pub.
Better vibes than the chicken though, man.
Yeah.
Give me a drugged tiger.
There was drugged tigers, but there was also like chicken. There was also like a goose and there was like a fox.
No one's going to the circus for a goose, man.
I think, I don't know, even a drugged...
That's a shame.
Even drugged animals, I think, you know, I'd have a goose in my lap sooner than have a tiger, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know...
No, goose, I just mean, like, if you're a goose and you've ended up in a circus...
You've had a bad time, yeah.
You've had a bad time, haven't you? Because, like, no one's going, I went to the circus last night and fuck me, this goose, man.
You should, yeah, no. It's they're never gonna be. They're never gonna be the banner name, are they? They're never gonna be. You know, come and see the Bolshoi Goose. It's not gonna happen.
I'm just thinking, what would that goose need to do to headline? Do you know what I mean?
Trapeze.
Yeah, trapeze, playing an instrument.
I'm not impressed by a goose trapezing. It's at home in the air. There's no risk.
It's like grabbing onto the bar with its beak.
Yeah, but it can. But there's no. The wonder of the trapeze is the risk.
It's true.
If you stick something that can fly on the trapeze, then it's like big whoop, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like saying, "Watch me walk."
Yeah, but you've not thought of this, Tom. It's heavily drugged.
Yeah, but watching me walk heavily drugged is not an £8 ticket. Is it?
No, I'm pretty excited. We've all seen that. No one needs to see that again.
So, I think the goose needs to do something on the ground and maybe something with its brain, I don't know.
Yeah. It needs to do a feat of memory, doesn't it? It needs to do it.
There we go. If it can do the playing cards or some shit like that. Yeah.
If you think about it, like a goose could peck an entire pack of cards and realistically come back with one card in its beak, right? That's within the grasp of a goose.
Magic goose.
A magic goose. That's what you want.
Close up magic goose.
Yeah.
And clean. I want to see the drugs test.
Yeah. You want it to be. You don't want it to be Lance Armstrong to have his mind.
None of this limitless shit.
No.
You don't want them to be limitless in the goose.
Limitless goose. No.
It's a bit like when they brought out the porcupine in the middle of the show, the porcupine came out in the middle of the circus, and it's a porcupine. What is it ever going to do?
Stick that on the trapeze. I'm interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
Added element of danger. What if it flies into the crowd?
Exactly. Whoever's got to catch the porcupine off the, you know, it's like the guy juggling knives. The jeopardy is he going to catch the handle or is he going to catch the blade? Well, that's the jeopardy. And the guy, the porcupine's trapeze partner, that is an act you want to see. Right? Yeah. Because two things are going to happen.
It's a book we want to write as well. The Porcupine's Partner.
The Time Traveller's Wife.
Yeah, we're all thinking that. Prickly isn't the word. ... The Porcupine's Partner.
Okay, we like prickly isn't the word. What about prickly is the word?
And then that'd be for the musical, I guess.
Oh, prickly's the word you've heard. Yeah, yeah. It's got move, it's got feeling.
I mean, Grease does a big trick there by telling us that it's the word, because there's not a lot to back up that Grease is the word, is there? But they do it with such commitment so early doors that you really believe them.
They don't mention Grease much in the actual musical itself. That song is only over, like, in the movie, it's only over the credits, isn't it, at the start?
Yeah.
So to sort of tell you it's called Grease.
Yeah.
There's never a bit where he's like, you know, I know you've got greased lightning, but it's not like there's any element of getting, like, procuring grease, using grease. Sure, they're brill creaming their hair, but it's not like...
Grease is the way they're feeling, actually.
It's the way they're feeling. They're feeling grease. it's not like, you know, There Will Be Blood, the book was called Oil, right? And you think, yeah, that's what the book's about. That's what the movie's about.
I would have called the film There Will Be Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, that would give it away, wouldn't it?
That's true. Actually,
you don't want to know if there will be oil.
There might be oil, there will be blood.
If There Will Be Blood opened with a song by Radiohead singing about how oil is the word.
Yeah.
Then I'm interested.
I'd love it.
Yeah, that's good. You're selling it to me.
Anyway, what does the porcupine do then?
The porcupine runs in a circle. Because it has to. Because what else can a porcupine do? It runs round the circus ring.
I mean, potentially a porcupine could catch an entire pack of cards, bar one. Could do like the opposite of the goose's trick.
Yeah.
You throw a pack of cards at it.
Yeah, if the goose becomes the porcupine partner, now we've got an act.
Mm. Now we've got a routine.
Clean, of course.
Grabs the goose. Of course,
we'll release the test.
Geese. Yeah. They throw up a pack of cards from their beak. They land on the porcupine.
Goose flies over. We've established he can fly. Goose flies over, pack of cards in his beak.
Bombs it.
Lets it go over the porcupine.
Hold on, you wanted him on the floor a second
ago. Porcupine could be going in a circle for a bit of razzle-dazzle. We know he can do that.
He stops.
Goose lands the cards on him. Woof.
Yeah.
And what are we saying? All cards but one, or one card lands on the porcupine?
Every card lands on the porcupine.
Apart from one that's still in the goose's mouth.
Yeah, but then I think, why have the porcupine?
What's the trick?
I was thinking, why have the porcupine?
Because it's just like a fun... It's the flourish, isn't it?
No, you've got to have the porcupine involved in some way.
It's the flourish.
That's the prestige, guys.
No, because you can't have an act that's going on completely up in the air and completely down on the ground, but the down on the ground bit is incidental. If the porcupine isn't there, right, and all the cards fall on the ground,
there's a goose dropping a deck of cards.
He's still got the card in his mouth. It doesn't matter. So I think you're doing the porcupine dirty by saying, oh, you're just there to basically pick up the cards. You don't want to make him the sort of the janitor of the routine.
No.
You want to make him intrinsic to the routine.
He's Debbie
McGee.
He's either catching
every card, right, apart from one that he's sort of got his foot on, right, and every card's on his back, or he is catching a single card. He's sort of darting around, and then whoop, turns his back around at the last minute and catches a card on his longest spine.
Great. Then the goose lands, reveals what he thinks the card's going to be.
Yeah.
And then the porcupine... Someone takes the card off the porcupine's spine and shows the card.
Wait, what? So like the goose is just like pointing to the card.
I don't even think the goose needs to do that, because you've got the guy to sign the card first or something.
This
right?
is all porcupine, no goose now.
No, it isn't.
The goose
isn't
is just dropping a pack of cards.
The goose, yeah, no, the yeah. Right, so the goose fans out the cards with its beak, right?
Oh,
okay.
I'm interested.
The porcupine comes over. He's got a little Sharpie in his gob. You take out the Sharpie, right? You sign
Sharpie
your name
by
on the
name,
card.
Sharpie by nature, that porcupine.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. A Sharpie from a Sharpie. That's what the MC, you know, the guy in the top hat and tails is doing.
And the MC is a badger. Carry on.
Of course, the MC is a badger. Let's not listen.
Carry on.
There will be badger, yeah. So
badger's the word.
Badger's the word that you heard. It's got movement, it's got feeling. And do you know what? Badger's the way that I'm feeling.
I tell you what, when you read the drugs test results, mum's the word, all right? Anyway, off you go, badger.
So the badger's saying Sharpie from a Sharpie. Okay, mate, yeah. Sign your name on that card and put it back in the pack.
And is that
and
a human?
Then,
yes.
Well, I think it has to be, really. It has to be a human saying some of these words here.
Yeah, okay, great.
And then you've got, and then you've got the goose who picks up the pack.
Yeah,
I mean,
flies up.
Do you actually say, well? Do you then do something more? Because ideally, you want to shuffle the pack, don't you? So what you have to do there is you've got to get the goose to get the cards between its beak, right, and fan them out in that, you know, that fanning out version of shuffling where you sort of bend the pack and they go but they're being caught in the tiny little paws of the porcupine, who then pops it into the beak. So the cards have been shuffled, it's popped into the goose's beak, then they're doing laps concentrically on the ground. The porcupine is doing laps, yeah. So you've got clockwise
ducks
for the goose,
maybe figure of eighting,
yeah. Oh, exactly. And then at the pivotal moment, the badger's behest,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah. The badger's bellow,
the badger says,
the badger is below, yeah, the badger's on the ground.
he's in his set.
He's did a hell of a set.
The
type five at the top.
He's set for life, honestly, the amount we're paying that badger.
Well, it's game, set, and match, isn't it, with this badger. So the badger sort of makes some sort of noise, sits on a horn, whatever, you know, gets his leg caught in a trap, whatever badgers do, honks or barks like a badger should do.
But he's not a clown.
Oh, he's not a clown. No. It's done with gravitas.
Yeah, let's not have him doing too much, you know, honking, folding onto a horn and stuff. He needs to retain his dignity.
Okay, in which case then the badger simply barks, and at that, but it barks at exactly the moment when the porcupine is crossing over on the ground, exactly where the goose is in the air. The goose spits out all of the cards. Now they all just, this is actually spectacular. The light hits them in such a way, it's almost like having a sort of paper mirror ball exploding above the stage, and they're sort of coming down, they're floating down.
Guinea pig on the follow spot.
Like so much confetti, the alpacas are loving it because it reminds them of the wedding they were at. Guinea pig on the follow spot, exactly. It's all going down, and then the lights are dimming as the cards are lowering, and then bing, on one spine is the card that, you know, everybody's looking around. Wow, this is unbelievable. The porcupine heads over to the guy,
yeah,
and he does that thing that porcupines do, where he fires all of his spines off his back. And they embed in the guy's body and face. But the last thing he sees is right between his eyes, the spine that's just hit him right between the eyes has got his card on it. So yes, he's in a tremendous amount of pain, but he's had the best night of his life, entertainment-wise. Worst night of his life, pain-wise. Best night of his life, entertainment-wise.
Isn't that often always the way?
Yeah. I think that's so true. That's, yeah.
Hand in hand.
Anyone who's been to A&E
the golden
knows.
Ratio. The golden ratio.
Now, so these bylaws, Tom, these bylaws.
I don't want to pick holes in it, but I do know how that trick's done, because let's be honest.
Don't give it away, because we'll get kicked out of the magic.
This is Parry,
out of the magic
sat
circle.
Arms crossed next to the guy who's just been impaled by 100 spikes. I know, and I did that.
Ben and Teller, I'll be Teller. Me and Ben. Look, the goose is doing a bit of trick shuffling his knee, and when he fires it over to the porcupine, obviously the signed card gets pocketed by the goose.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at the porcupine catching it. The goose is palming it off to this little dormouse. Then he flies up into the sky. Yeah. Then the explosion of cards to follow spot, and as you said, the lights are dimming crucially.
Yeah,
for that one split second for the dormouse to make it to the porcupine. Damn it on. Off you go.
We've lost a lot of good dormice in rehearsals, I'll say that much.
Yes. Yes.
It's dormouse kebab again tonight, I'm afraid, because
They don't last long.
They don't last. But you've got to, in order to create great art, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
It's very awkward when it happens mid-performance and we have to you finish with the trick, is this your dormouse? Instead.
Just a dormouse impaled to the guy's face.
I'm not saying that, you know, do you know what? I don't think it's necessarily the porcupine's spine that killed him. I think you roughed him up pretty bad when you were signing with the Sharpie, mate. So I think you ought to share the blame, all right? You ought to share the blame.
It was beauty that killed the beast.
It was beauty that killed the beast. I'm not faring well in the circus, I don't think.
You've
got a real ringmaster vibe to you, though.
You've got the carnival barker to you. You could definitely do that. Or, of course, because you're tall and you're bearded and you're broad, you could be the strong man. You know, you've got something of the strong man look about you. I could definitely see you in P.T.
Barnum. Right up until the bit where you need to actually display strength.
Look,
a lot of it's just bluster.
It was all Magnus, wasn't it, in P.T. Barnum's. He'd get someone to come up and try and lift up a weight and they couldn't because it was all on a... Like, it's all rigged. It's performance, you know. You flip off the super powerful magnet and you lift it above your head a few times. It's light as a feather.
Those weights are just filled with dormice, mate.
They all just scutter off into the floorboards as you lift it up. Exactly.
Yes, remember, a ton of dormice still weigh the same as a ton of feathers.
That makes no sense.
It's a trick question.
It's hardly true.
I've been fooled by that before.
Can't be true.
No, I just feel like, you know, the whole running away with the circus thing, it'd be like 2 days and I'd be calling my dad and being like, can you come and pick me up? I'm near Hull.
Can you come and pick me up? I'm a father.
We're near some playing fields near Barnsley and I miss home. I'm sleeping in the caravan with some trapeze brothers and I'm scared. They don't go to sleep. They just keep going post-show till 5:30. I don't want to be here anymore. It's just like, it just feels so cold and scary, you know.
Everything is scary. Everything looks scary in a circus. For sure.
Did you go and see Nightmare Alley when that came out a few years ago?
Nightmare
Alley. I feel like that's the you know, you don't want to end up doing the geek show, do you?
You don't want to be Alley.
You don't want to end
a terrible time. Poor
you
lad.
Don't want no. Absolutely, an absolute nightmare. That was the song at the start by the Bee Gees, wasn't it? Nightmare is the time we're having.
Nightmare's the word that we're having. Get up, baby. Every film opening with a theme that stresses that its title is the word. Lock me in.
The Meg.
The Meg. Manchester by the Sea. I thought it set the wrong tone for the movie.
Oy. It just feels like it'd be very cold.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's a cold life.
Yeah. Lots of rain.
That's another thing I spend a lot more time at than I used to, the fun fair, and especially the fun fair in the rain. You know, we just come off the back of a fortnight half term. And so a few trips to the fun fair were made and you kind of go like, once you've promised it, you've just got to go and do it.
Where we've gone wrong as a society is those kind of festivals that we have. You don't really notice the festivals in the summer or the spring. You don't, they just pass you by.
Yeah.
But like the festivals start to count in the autumn and the winter. And that's the worst time to be going out for a festival.
Well, we're recording this on the eve of, it's Halloween Eve, isn't it? It's All Hallows Eve. Tomorrow night, it's set in Beckenham to piss down with rain all evening. Right. And it's trick-or-treating. And it's, you know, and what do we say? Oh, sorry, it's raining a bit. We're not going to put our costumes on and go and trick-or-treat. Of course we're going to go out and do it. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
And then what is it like the weekend? It'll be fireworks and...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Then there's winter wonderlands and shit like that. And it's like, what about just having a festival where you don't leave your house for 4 months?
Sit by the fire festival. It's the new fire festival.
I think we had that. It was called a pandemic.
House meeting.
What would you say to Roman Keith?
House meeting.
Probably nothing at all.
I don't think I'll ever... go trick or treating.
Why not? It's fun.
I'm kind of glad. Never did it.
I've never trick or treated.
Neither
have I. Our streets go for it in a big my street in particular goes for it in a big way. So tomorrow night we've got a party at the school. So we're all going to the Halloween party at the school. We've carved our pumpkins, ready to bring them along, and there's a little bit of a party in the school, and then everyone leaves the school and goes down kind of the adjoining roads, and we all go trick-or-treating. It's fun. You get to meet your neighbours. It's a great way of meeting your neighbours.
You go trick-or-treating as a school?
Well,
a school's worth of kids at your doorstep.
This is the first year we've been attached to the school because Cleo's only just joined the school. But we used to go trick-or-treating in the bit before, while the party was happening, which is sort of when the younger kids do it, when it's a bit lighter. We go and trick-or-treat in a few of the houses, and then we would be in our house handing out the treats, and I love it. And you know, and by the end of it, you know, it's great. I'm really sort of a champion at the bit to do it, because all the parents seem to be having a really great time. You know, there's booze and there's a good community, and it seems really fun. And you get to knock on your neighbor's doors.
If someone says trick, what's your trick that you have up your sleeve?
Well, here's the thing. No, that's not, they're
you
asking.
The letterbox, Tom.
This is it. As in, if someone says trick to, you don't play a trick on them. You just leave, don't you? It's not, there's no actual trick or treating, is it? It's just treating, really, at this stage.
Isn't the deal, you knock on a door and say trick or treat?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, you pose the question.
Yeah.
So if someone says trick...
Well, if someone says trick, what you do is you get a goose with a deck of cards.
I'll show you a trick, mate. Release the porcupine.
You won't believe your eyes.
If you say trick, someone says, give me £8, go through there, don't touch any of the animals.
Yeah, we're a petting zoo, mate.
You be dad.
I guess the idea of trick-or-treating it's not really trick-or-treating, because also you do opt into it. You don't just go around randomly, indiscriminately knocking on doors. If you put a pumpkin in your window, that's the sign to be like, I would like to take trick-or-treaters. So when it gets to bedtime, the trick-or-treaters are still out and about and going to each house, we just take the pumpkin out of our window and we've opted out of that. But we didn't, you know.
Does everyone know that then?
Yeah, everyone knows that.
On your road or in society, is that something?
Oh, I don't know about it. I've only. Guys, get in touch if you know that code. But that seems to be the code on our road.
I put a pineapple in my window, and it's very different to treat.
Is that still going on?
You're doing trick or Hawaiian pizza, aren't you?
Is it a pineapple in your trolley?
Yeah.
You're a swinger or something.
Yeah.
It's not true though, is it? Because they sell pineapples. No, of course it's not true. Because they sell pineapples in supermarkets, and otherwise you wouldn't be able to buy one. What are you supposed to do? Carry it in your hand?
You can't buy one near me. I bought them all. Go around the supermarkets. Come on.
Yeah, I bought a pineapple last week.
Isn't it supposed to be? It's supposed to be like an upside down pineapple or something. That's what I heard. You put it in your trolley upside down, and that's the signal.
So, Parry, you said I bought a pineapple last week. I thought you were going to say something about it.
Well, just that nothing happened. I bought a pineapple last week. I ate it today with my wife.
And, okay. and no one else.
Maybe it's to do with the angle of the pineapple.
So the idea being that you would just stroll around the supermarket with nothing but an upside down pineapple in your trolley, and you'd hope you'd stroll past another person who also happened to have an upside down pineapple in their trolley.
Or they clock you and go, hello, mate.
Hello, nice pineapple.
Nice pineapple. Well, nod, Clarkie, nod, wink, wink.
This is what you've got to do.
Trick or treat.
You've got to go out there and into the field and look for these pineapples.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And report back to us.
I will do.
For next week.
Do you go trick or treating now, Clarkie, with your other friends? You guys petting
Yeah, that's the birthday party for this year. Yeah.
Hello. Trick or treat. You're in a good position with, because you've got a balcony, you could water balloon some people, can you? That might be good crack.
Yeah, it's kind of out the back though, so I would exclusively be doing it for my neighbours.
People who can make it into the private courtyard that you live in. And also, it's the people who live in the house aren't supposed to be doing the trick, are they? It's the people who are... You say trick or treat, and right. Then if you say, you know, go away, I'm not giving you a treat, they can do a trick to you. They can,
which is what my mum used to do.
Put to it, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because she didn't believe in it for Crizzo reasons. That. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Did she ever get tricked then?
I don't think so.
I feel like tricking needs to be. It feels like treats started to dominate trick or treating. Is what it sounds like. Sounds like there aren't many tricks going on.
Yeah. Do you want to bring tricks back? Are you going out being, you know, do you think you're the person who's going to go out and start sort of saying trick or trick? To provide a little bit of balance, you know, a bit of much needed balance. Do you feel like that's something that needs
I just think kids need to fulfill the other half of the bargain. It feels like the kids are in it for the treats.
Yeah.
But they're not going out prepared to trick.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, if you're going to take the treats, you've also got to bring the tricks. You got to, like, I'm advocating for trick and treat. Like, earn your treat with a good trick.
What kind of tricks would you be employing?
I've got some treats.
Then?
You show me you've got a trick or two up your sleeve, and I'll be interested in giving you some treats.
But the tricks are like not magic tricks. It's not like, you know, got your nose. Look at my, you know, look up. Pulling my finger off or any of those kind of things. They're like, you know, like Clarkie says, like, you know.
Lou roll
piece
your
of
house.
Your letterbox. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, fair play. You've earned yourself some bonbons. I mean,
you took the mini Snickers.
Young man, you also had the balls to stick your knob through my letterbox and piss on my doormat. You can have a bonbon.
Bonbons are the worst. Bonbons are the worst sweet you could get in trick-or-treating.
Oh, unwrapped as well.
And unwrapped
the tricks on you because just, the bonbons just... were underneath my letterbox. That's where I've kept them all night. So, tricks on you, baby. They're not lemon bonbons.
Never trick-or-trickster, boy. Never trick-or-trickster.
You have to go. Do not eat the yellow bonbons.
But Tom, seriously, you can't tease us with bylaw stuff.
I mean,
we've gone off on so many tangents when what the listener needs is your hot take on how cool bylaws are.
Wait, it wasn't a trick, was it, Tom?
No, this isn't it.
It wasn't something.
You didn't dangle the carrot on a flat palm.
Listen, do not dangle the carrot, please. They're very aggressive animals.
This would be the ultimate trick or treat because we all think we're going to get the great treat of hearing Tom talk candidly about bylaws.
The idea of a llama being the mayor of Exeter made me think about bylaws because, you know, every part of the country has bylaws. You think about bylaws, like, did you see the other day they were repairing a bridge on the River Thames, and because they were repairing the footbridge, they had to dangle a bale of hay off the side of the bridge.
Yes, I did see that.
And that's just like a bylaw. And it's like, you go, I think a lot of the time they're either not real or they're just people having a goof around, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Or there's just some alpacas under the bridge, but you can't touch them.
You can't go.
So you've got to just lower a hay bale on some rope. I didn't see that, but that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. I love that. It's very, very quaint.
So there's like a bale of hay hanging off the Millennium Bridge.
That's brilliant.
I just think, you know, I think there's a lot that you can probably get away with a lot as well by, like, if you put a fucking ram on your shoulders and take a stroll in the nude and then be like, bylaw.
Yeah.
And then like go find it.
It's a little bit like, it's a bit like, you know, they say if you're wearing like high vis, you can pretty much get away with anything. Mm. You know,
you could win Britain's Got Talent.
You could win. I think the same is very much true of someone with a ram on their shoulder. You know, you're definitely gonna. I think fewer questions are going to be asked of you. And yeah. Again, if a question is asked of you, by law, you can bat it away.
Yeah.
Is there like a logic behind the bale of hay? Do you know anything about it? Is there a logic to why they were asked to dangle a bale of hay?
It's to warn ships that there's construction work going on overhead.
Right.
So if you're travelling down the Thames and you see a bale of hay, then you'd watch your head.
And of course, ships were always, in the day, they were pulled by horses.
Well, you don't want to put, no, in which case, then you're on a bale of hay, because they just gallop immediately towards it, won't they?
You've got to stop thinking about feeding the animals. You're not at the zoo anymore. I know you had a bad time at the pet zoo and you're keen to feed more animals. But these horses can't go near that bale of hay.
Good.
Is having subtitles in a foreign film cheating?
There we go. Ground covered.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. A lovely pod.
Mode. Yes, a lovely pod.
Hedges rearranged.
Mulch mulched,
guys.
Clarky, do you want to give out the name of the petting zoo just to drive a bit of business its way, or do you think that would happen?
I might put it under.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Support your local petting zoo, I think, is what we're saying.
Well, don't worry. Producer Emma did send me a message yesterday saying, could I, because apparently during the podcast, I promised that I would give a list of my top petting zoos in the southeast. So I did that last night. So in the show notes to this episode, you can see some petting zoos that I really, I heartily endorse if you happen to live in the kind of bottom half of London and below.
Great. I'm actually going to check out that list.
Yeah, you should do, man. In fact, next time we're going to a petting zoo, we always need an extra pair of hands to chase after the kids. We'll bring you along, Clark. Yeah,
I'd love that. Yeah,
you'd be very, very welcome. Parry, you'd also be welcome, but it's a bit more of a schlep for you.
Can I put a shout out to Pennywell Farm in Buckfast Lee? It's a fine, fine petting zoo and farm.
Yeah, and down there they all float. Isn't that true in Pennywell Farm? So get along to Pennywell, get along to any of the other ones that I've recommended in the show notes. Support your local petting zoo, guys, and a great way to support your local petting zoo is by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/patentflashair, because the money goes to us and I take my kids to petting zoos
and Clarky.
Oh yeah.
And Clarky as well. Clarky goes to petting zoos on his own despite being a man in his 40s.
Still just nobody pets me. I can't understand it.
Often, like, you know, parents of children will sort of daydream about what their non-childed friends are up to. You know, I bet they're having, you know, sleeping in and going for brunch and then, you know, doing some sort of little, you know, a street art walking tour or something, you know, like that. And if only I knew that what you're actually doing is exactly what I'm doing, just without kids.
Yeah. Anyway, can we hurry this up? I've got to get to a soft play.
All right. Well, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.